Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
The Gospel of John, chapter 4. I've been reading through the Gospel of John again, and this just kind of caught my eye. It's just so good the way God points things out to you. You know, you can read it 1,000 times, and then one day you're just kind of reading through it, and you're seeing the same thing you've read 100 times, but the Lord says, look at this. Bet you never really thought about that. And it could be sometimes it's just a couple words, but it just jumps out at you. That's the Spirit of God quickening it to you, making it come alive. Hallelujah. In John chapter 3, most folks are familiar with this verse that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Amen. Let me ask you a question. Are you a believer? The reason why I ask that, because, you know, many people today call themselves believers. Did you know that? I mean, the question is, really, if we're going to say that we're a believer, what is it that you believe? Because, you know, there's a lot of folks, they call themselves true believers in the fact that they don't believe there's any God. They believe in atheism. Did you know that Hindus and Buddhists and other religions, they believe in something called reincarnation? In other words, you die as a human and come back as a pig. Or a raspberry. You know, or some other nonsensical thing. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that a man is appointed once to die, and then the judgment. You get one chance to get it right. That doesn't mean you get one chance to be perfect and never mess up. What it means is you get one chance to live on this planet and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. And if you don't, then you'll be judged in accordance to what you've done instead of what Jesus did for you. See, because you can be judged either guilty or not guilty. You understand that? If we haven't received Christ as our Savior, then we're guilty because we are basically going to be judged on what we've done. And every one of us has messed up at least once, right? Every one of us has used the Lord's name in vain at some point, or maybe told a little white lie, which is just enough to get you into hell. Or maybe didn't honor your parents the way you should, or maybe took something that didn't belong to you. That's called stealing. Amen. Amen. But we don't believe in reincarnation. But some folks do. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was the Son of God. But what they really believe is that Son, he was actually Michael the Archangel, who came to earth as the Son of God. Now, most folks don't know that. So you got to be careful when you're talking to a Jehovah's Witness, because they may be talking that Jesus is the Son of God, but they think that him and Michael are the same. Let me just tell you something. Michael was created by Jesus. Michael is an angel he's a created being. Jesus isn't. Jesus is and always was with God and God. Now, folks don't know that. But see, they call themselves believers. They think they're believers. But the question is, what do they believe, right? Right? Mormons believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers in the exact same sense that all men and women are siblings to Satan. They actually believe that we're all brothers, that we and Satan are brothers and sisters. Latter-day Saints, that's the Mormon, you know, Church of the Latter-day Saints, believe that God is the Father of all spirits, and these spirits include all humans as well as angels and demons, including Satan and Jesus Christ. And in this sense, we're all brothers and sisters to one another. We are not brothers to angels. I've already explained this to you earlier. Angels are different from us. We're different. We're not the same. Different beings. Amen. Thank God for angels, but we're not. Lucifer, who is called Satan, the word Satan in Greek means adversary, enemy, foe. Lucifer is an angel. He was actually in heaven. He was called the cherub that covers. He actually covered the throne of God. He was as close to God as you could get. But then he got envious of God's power and he wanted to exalt himself. He wanted to actually basically overthrow God. Can you think of anything more dumb than that? Really, that'd be like you making Pinocchio and then him deciding that he's going to rule in your place. That's just about as dumb as you can get. But he did, and what happened was is that he got about a third of the angels in heaven to join him in his little quest, and there was a rebellion in heaven, according to the Bible. You can read it in there, and they lost. Surprise. And they were actually cast here. Well, Satan was cast here. Many of the angels are held in chains right now until the final day of judgment, in Tartarus, it's called, being held in bondage. Some of them will be released in the last time, in the last days. Amen. These are just some facts for you. But the point is that Mormons think they're believers, and they do believe something. But to believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers? Now, Muslims call themselves the true believers. You understand that, right? They believe that their God called Allah and his prophet Muhammad, and that Jesus was a prophet, but they don't believe that God had a son. So let me ask you a question. Are you a believer? And if so, then what do we believe? Many claim to be Christians because they believe in the God of the Bible. Did you hear what I said? They claim to be believers because they believe in the God of the Bible. But the Apostle James wrote about those individuals in James chapter 2, verse 19, and he said, "You believe that there is one God? Well, you do well." He said, "But then the devils, they believe too, and they tremble." Let me ask you a question. How many devils do you think you're going to see in heaven? How many demons? You're not going to see any demons in heaven. Why? Well, they believe in God. If that was the answer, that would do it, right? Even Satan believes in God. And they tremble. So believing in God is not enough. Hell is filled with people and other things that believe in God. They'll never get out of there. There is a hell. See, if there's a heaven, then there's a hell. Our idea of heaven comes from this book, whether you know this or not. Our idea of heaven, it comes from this book. The God that we're talking about, it comes from this book. You won't find this, the God that we're talking about. The God who is a three-part being, a Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, three being one. How does that all work? I can't really tell you because I'm not God. But somehow the three are one. And actually, we're part of that because we're one. It says that if you're joined together with the Spirit, we're one with God too. But that God, the God of love, the God who brought us salvation through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the only place you're going to find him is in that book. You won't find him in any other book. That's the book. Now, if we're going to believe that about that God in that book, then we have to believe everything else that's in that book. And if we don't believe everything else that's in that book, well then how do we decide what's true and what's not? Right? Because really, if you take enough people, and I've met enough Christians say, "Well, yeah, I believe that, but I don't believe that." Well, how do you know that what you're believing is right? I mean, how do we decide? Because I can find somebody else to disagree with you. So does that make that not true too? And if we get enough people together, well, then pretty soon the whole thing is just trash and we might as well throw it away, right? Because I don't want to stake my eternity on something to where, well, you don't know whether it's true or not. How about you? I mean, it'd be like you taking a job, for example, and you don't know whether you're going to get paid or not. But you're going to invest all this money in material and time and labor, but there's no guarantee you're going to get paid. Well, now, see, that's just dumb business. I'd have to say, sorry, but I'm not signing that contract. Well, it's the same thing with this. See, this is our contract with God. And so if we're going to be a believer, then the question is, what do we believe? Because believing in God, just the fact that God is not enough. It's not enough, because even the devils believe in God. So you're in John chapter 4, right? Start with verse 46, okay? We'll go to verse 46. Verse 46. I'm going to read it out of the Common English Version. Some of you have New International Versions. Others of you have American Standards and so forth. Doesn't matter what version you have. It all says pretty much the same thing. Verse 46. Once again, Jesus returned to Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. Now in Capernaum, there was a certain nobleman, a royal official, whose son was sick. And when he heard that Jesus was coming from Judea to Galilee, he went out to meet him and asked Jesus if he would come and heal his son, because his son was about to die. So now I want you to picture this. This man's son is so sick that he's on the verge of death. Would you agree that this is a serious situation? Yeah, okay. And so this guy, he hears of Jesus. And apparently some of what Jesus had been doing got back to him. So he goes out to ask Jesus, hey, look it, come to my place and deal with my son because he's about to die. I want you to come to my house where my son is and heal him, because if you don't, he's going to die. And Jesus said to him, you people, unless you see miraculous signs and wonders, you just simply won't believe. Now, you know, that right there describes just about, I would say, the majority of people on the planet, including those that claim to be believers. Unless you actually see evidence, you just won't believe. Isn't that what Jesus just said? He said, unless you see a sign, unless you see a miracle, you're just not going to believe. Right? Apparently, Jesus has a problem, and Jesus speaking for God, God has a problem with folks that won't believe unless they see. There was a man by the name of Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. Jesus had to deal with him because Thomas just wouldn't believe either unless he saw, because that was Thomas's confession. He said, well, unless I see the hole in the side and put my fingers in the holes in his hands, I'm just not going to believe that he's up and walking around. And so Jesus just finally showed up to him and just said, well, come on over, Tom. Go ahead, stick your hand in my side. Go ahead and stick your hand. And that way you'll know. But then he said, blessed are those that believe without seeing. Amen. Why? Because everything that is available to us in the kingdom of God is accessed by faith. And faith doesn't need to see, that's why. Unless you see miracles and wonders, you won't believe. And so then the nobleman said to him, Lord, please come before my son dies. In other words, let's not stand here talking about this. My son is dying. Will you please come and heal my son? And so Jesus replied, go home. Your son lives. Imagine if that's you and that's your child. You go to God and God's, and God, heal my son. And God says, don't worry about it. Your son will live. Well, look what it says right here. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and set out for his home. I like what it says in the NIV. It says he took Jesus at his word. Mm-hmm. No argument. No, okay. If you say so, good enough for me. Set out for home. And while he's on his way, his servants were already coming to meet him, and they said, your son lives. So he asked them about what time the son had started to get better, and they said, well, the fever left him yesterday. In other words, this guy traveled at least for one day. Well, it was probably 2 days, because they're on their way. The guy was on his way back, so you understand that the servants had already met him. It had to be halfway, so that had to be a two-day trip for him to go see Jesus, right? Because they just said yesterday, right? And they said, the fever left him yesterday about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and the father realized that this was the time or the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son lives, and he and his entire household believed in Jesus. Praise God. I like that, man. That's good, right? So you see, here's the thing. The question really, when we talk about us being believers, the question is not really if we believe in God. The question is, do we believe God? If we're going to call ourselves a believer, Do we believe God? Do we believe him? See, this man, here was what Jesus said to the people, unless you see something, you just won't believe. What's your problem with the seeing thing here? But the nobleman believed the word that Jesus said. Jesus said, your son lives. Go on home. Everything is going to be fine. And the man believed him. I want you to think about this, okay? Because this is where most Christians are, most people. Not just Christians, but unbelievers. And of course, we can't expect an unbeliever to believe, can we? Because they're unbelievers, right? An unbeliever is an unbeliever, someone who does not believe. But for someone who's a believer, we're supposed to believe, right? And so consider this. When Jesus said, go on home, your son lives, there was absolutely no evidence for that man to believe what Jesus said. There was no natural evidence. There was no proof. Listen, he just traveled, we just discovered, at least 2 days to come see Jesus because his son is dying. And he wants Jesus to come home with him, to come to the house and heal his son. This is what he's looking for. This is what I want you to do, Jesus. And this is how I want you to do it. I want you to come to my home. And when you get there, I want you to heal my son. But Jesus doesn't go to his home. He doesn't do what the man wants, the way the man wants it. Hello, friends. This is Reverend Slide Moran, and I hope that you've enjoyed the message so far. We'll return to it in just a moment, but before we do, did you know that it's because of the generous offerings from folks just like you that enables us to provide these messages to you and to others all throughout the world for free? Friend, I know that you love God and that you're seeking, just as we are, to spread the gospel. So won't you consider helping us as we continue to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the earth? No offering is too small, and every dollar helps us to reach more and more people. So whether you wish to become a regular partner or just a one-time love offering, I want you to know that every single dollar helps. No amount is too small. You can send your offering online by visiting our partner page. Just go to www.BibleCities.com and click the donate button. You can even send your love offering by mail to Bible Cities Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 40, Gettysville, New York, 14068 in the USA. Our mailing address can also be found in the BibleCities.com partner section. Just click the link that says Donate by Check or Money Order. Thank you for your love and your generosity, and may God richly reward you for your faithful obedience. Now, let's get back to the message. His son is dying, and he wants Jesus to come home with him, to come to the house and heal his son. This is what he's looking for. This is what I want you to do, Jesus, and this is how I want you to do it. I want you to come to my home, and when you get there, I want you to heal my son. But Jesus doesn't go to his home. He doesn't do what the man wants, the way the man wants it. He just simply says, go home, your son will live, not a problem. And the man believed it. And what was the result? The son was healed. His situation was desperate. The boy was dying. He asked Jesus to come and heal the boy. Jesus didn't go, didn't do what he expected. He just simply said, yeah, your son will live, not a problem. Go on home. And the man believes it. And even though there's no natural evidence, there's no real evidence, the word of God says that the man believed the word. He believed the word. What are you holding in your hand? You're holding the word. Did you know that in that book that we call the Word, it says that there are exceeding great and precious promises in that book, so that by these promises you can partake of the divine nature, of the life of God. You can partake of all the blessings and the power of God by the words in that book. That's the word. Amen. It's called faith. Believing what God said and acting on it as if it's true, even though all of the evidence is, it seems to contradict it. That's called faith. Believing it even though you don't see it. For example, everybody said, I believe in God. When was the last time you saw God? He just came down, had a little chat with you in the middle of the night. Hey, just wanted to show up. I'm God. How y'all doing? When was the last time you saw God? Well, then why would you believe in him? I mean, there's no natural evidence, really, that says he exists. Jesus, right? Jesus hasn't appeared to you, right? I mean, he is appearing to people, but probably no one here that I know of anyway. It's okay if he has. But even so, the Word of God says, even if we or an angel of light appears and preaches another gospel, don't believe it. Right. We have his Word. God says, I am. Here's the book that says, I am. This is me. This is all about me. You want to know something about me? Go read about me right here. I put it all down for you, and I made it a permanent thing. So if you need anything you want to know about me, it's right there. Just go ahead and look. So we've got his biography, and it's an autobiography, by the way. So we have it right here. We can find out anything we want. So there it all is, and yet never seen him, never touched him, never smelled him, felt him. In a physical sense, you understand. And yet we believe that he is. That's called faith. That's called faith. And then we found out that, boy, somewhere along the time after we were born, we messed up. And when we messed up, we did something that God calls sin. And when we sinned, somehow or another, do not enter sign went up in heaven that said, sorry, you can't come because you sinned. And we believe that because that's what that word says, so we believe that. And then we find out, however, if we read a little bit farther, that, well, God, he didn't like that do not enter sign coming up. So what he did is he sent Jesus to take our sin in our place so that do not enter sign can be turned around and it says, come on in. And we believe that, right? But there's no evidence of it. But we believe it, right? Amen. Well then, see, that's all his word right there. It's all right here in this book. Isn't that good news? And believing it without any natural evidence, without any natural proof, that's called faith. See, faith doesn't need to see. Faith doesn't need to see. Faith believes without seeing. I mean, for example, right now, I can't see my wife. She's on a plane on her way to Seattle. Well, actually to Phoenix and then on to Seattle. But I don't doubt her existence because I can't see her. And I don't doubt that she's on that plane. I believe her. I take her at her word. I don't believe she's out and went on a vacation with some guy that I don't know. Or maybe have decided to go to Bahamas with her girlfriends. I don't believe that. I trust her. I take her at her word. She's going to Seattle for a business conference. Praise the Lord. I believe that. I didn't check the tickets. I didn't call, you know, her boss. I didn't do all that. I just took my wife at her word because I trust my wife. I believe my wife. You understand this? Well, I trust God too. And if God says this is the way it is, just like this nobleman, he went to the Lord for healing and the Lord said, fine, not a problem. And the man believed him. It was just that simple. I like that. You know, God likes that too. That's called faith. Amen. So we're not supposed to just simply believe in God. We're supposed to believe what God said. Now, can I ask you this question? How can you believe what God said if you don't know what God said? I want you to think about that for a minute. How can you believe what God said if you don't know what God said? Right? That's why he gave us this book. So we can see what God said. We can just read it. And we don't need to be confused about it because we can look at it right there in print and say, hey, listen. And you know, if you start comparing all the Bibles, you'll find out they say the same thing. Amen. Praise God. How many of you remember in the Bible there's the story of these two sisters, Mary and Martha? They had a brother named Lazarus. Remember that? Lazarus, Jesus loved Lazarus just as he loved all of us. Lazarus got sick. Lazarus gets sick. comes to Jesus. One of the sisters comes to Jesus and says, listen, our brother's laying sick, dying. Come and heal him. Jesus says, yeah, not a problem. And then stays where he is for a couple more days. I just like that so much. Yeah, I'll come. But I'm going to come in my time. And so what happens to Lazarus? He dies. Because Jesus stayed where he was a couple more days. So he dies. And so then after he dies, and Jesus knows he's dead, he says, okay, let's go. Let's go take care of Lazarus. If you read the story, Thomas, of course, the doubting Thomas, he knows that where Lazarus is, the people are mad at him, and they're trying to kill Jesus. They really, you know. So Thomas, this great man of faith, he says, well, let's go with him, and we can all die together. And the disciples agree, yeah, let's go. If they kill him, yeah, we might as well go too, you know. And they can kill us all together. Now, let me just tell you something. That's not, if you're going to put your faith in something, it shouldn't be that. Okay? So Jesus goes. And the sisters are all upset because now Lazarus has been dead for a couple days. He's in the tomb. He stinks. Well, they're crying, Lord, if you'd been here, he'd be okay. And Jesus reminds Martha of something. He says, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? He has to remind her. Didn't I already tell you this situation is going to be okay? Even if he's dead, I'm the resurrection and the life. And what happens? Jesus walks up to the tomb and says, roll the tomb away. And they want to argue with him because he's been dead for a few days and he's stinking. And the Lord just says, Lazarus, come on out of there. And what happens? Lazarus comes out. Lazarus believed the word. Amen. The whole point of that is that, you know, it really doesn't matter how desperate, how hopeless the situation looks. Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing. Even if you're dead. I mean, even if the situation just looks, this is hopeless, man. There's no hope whatsoever. Wrong. With God, all things are possible to him that believes. This noble man, he was a believer. He believed not just in Jesus, but he believed what Jesus said. He believed the word. Do you understand this? Romans chapter 1:16, Paul said this. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone believes. Now, that word salvation, it comes from the Greek word sozo. It doesn't mean just you get to go to heaven when you die. It also includes healing, provision, protection, deliverance. In other words, whatever it is that you need, it's included in that word salvation. It's not just get to go to heaven when you die. You get everything else, and then when you're done, you get to go to heaven when you die, is basically what it means. And so he said, that's why it's called the gospel, the good news. The word gospel means good news. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, listen, I'm not ashamed of the good news, because it's the power of God unto healing and provision and protection and deliverance and safety and soundness and anything else you need, and you get to go to heaven when you die. All you got to do is just believe it. All you got to do is believe the good word, the good news. Because it's the power of God. What is the power of God? The word of God. Remember what 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:13 it says. Now, you don't have to turn there. I'll just close with this. Again, Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, he says this, for this cause I thank God without ceasing. He's thanking God, right? That when you received the word that you heard from us, you did not receive it as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. that works effectively in them that believe it. Well, see, now that nobleman, when Jesus said, go home, go thy way, your son lives, that nobleman believed it, and it worked effectively. And the son lived, because the nobleman believed it. See? The nobleman believed it, even though there was no evidence. There was no natural evidence at all. I mean, what are you talking about? You just go that way. What has changed in the last 3 seconds? I mean, I just asked you to come home and heal my son because he's dying. What changed from the time I said that and the time you said go home because your son lives? What changed? He believed the word. That's what changed. God said something about it. Amen. Amen. And that will change in our life too. It'll change in your life if you'll just believe what God says. So are you a believer? What do you believe? Not just in God, but God. That's a believer. We don't just believe in God. We believe God. What God said. What good is it to worship a God whom we can't trust? Don't worry, I got it under control. And then you find out, no, he doesn't. We're in deep trouble. We better find another God. Maybe if we get two or three of them working together, we can get this done. No, our God is called God Almighty for a reason. And there's nothing too big for him. Amen. Doesn't matter how sick you are. Doesn't matter how broke you are. Doesn't matter how far and how deep you are in debt. I know that from personal experience. Doesn't matter. I've been on the verge of death and been healed. I've been so far in debt, it looked like there was no way out, and got out of that too. All by God. Amen. Amen. Been in situations that looked hopeless, got out of it anyway. Listen, God is a God of miracles, but it requires us to believe him, believe what he said, if we're going to see it in our life. Because God is a God of miracles. And God wants to have his power working on our behalf. All we have to do is, as the nobleman did, says that, and the man believed the word that Jesus spoke. How many of you believe the word of God? Amen. The best thing that we can do as Christians is to get into that word and see what God said. Learn it. Now, as Christians, you understand that we're the New Testament. And especially if you're a new Christian or you're not really familiar with the Bible, my recommendation to you is to read the New Testament. Start in the New Testament, not the Old. Because the Old Testament, much of it does not apply to us. It's basically the history of ancient Israel. There are some great promises of the things to come, but what I like about the New Testament is that it's the things have come. Shows us what belongs to us, who we are. Amen? In any event, this is the word of God. Are we believers? Yes. I said, are we believers? Yes. Yeah, we're believers. Praise God. Say, I'm a believer. I believe in God, and I believe what God says. Amen. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Well, did I help you out today? Yeah, a little bit. Maybe learned a little something you didn't know? Say, I believe the word. So do I, praise God, God's word. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for this wonderful place. We thank you, Father God, for the wonderful word that you've given us. And Father, we believe it. We thank you, Father, that you are not a liar, that we can trust you, that we can believe you, and that, Father, your word will come to pass in our life just as you said it will when we believe it and we speak it and we apply it. So we thank you, Father. And we give you all credit and all praise and all glory. And Father, I would pray that the word that was spoken this morning, Father, that which is of you, the Lord, it would go deep into the hearts of every person that hears this, whether it be here, whether it be online, whether it be by satellite or on CD, that Father God, it would go deep into their hearts, that it would take root, it would bring forth and bear much fruit, that Jesus may be exalted. Thank you, Father, that today your word had free course and was glorified. And so we promise and covenant with you to give you all the glory and praise, all the honor and thanksgiving now and forever and ever in the mighty name of Jesus.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. for the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.